on the phone on Static this evening. It is an absolute pleasure to have Cole from Dive. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm really good. We got you in Australia the week of release of Is the Is R. We couldn't quite manage that this time around, so I guess a phone call is the next best thing to check in, Cole.
Yeah, it was fun. We got to get our vinyl from the Flying Nun office and play a fun festival and see some cool bands and meet cool people.
Oh, I'm glad at least we have another Dive album to talk about, Cole. Does everyone feel like a small miracle by the time it comes out?
Yeah, probably a big miracle. Yeah, definitely.
There seems to be a lot that goes down in between every Dive record, and this time around it was no exception, right?
You know, I think you're right.
When you were here last time, you said then that things were fine, but still they weren't, right? You've had a pretty tumultuous couple of years again?
Yeah, you know, I have. I think that that's part of my story, and I think it's probably something that's part of a lot of people's stories, you know, relapse, part of recovery, you know, failures are part of success, etc.
Yeah, because after that record had come out and you toured it a lot, you ended up spending around 6 months in several different rehabs at the beginning of 2017, so you kind of stopped touring that record and then sort of took ownership of your life and sorted a few more things out?
Yeah, I think, you know, we were on a bad path, an unsustainable path, and I think I'd spent those couple years looking for a real easy solution, like I think a lot of people do, and ultimately realized that it was a lot of, you know, hard work that I had to do that took time, that involved being away from the band, and, you know, it's probably the best thing I've ever done in my life and extremely valuable learning experience to come to terms with myself and my own defects and work on those so I don't fall back into that same cycle again.
Yeah, there's a line on one of the songs on the new album, on Between Tides, which says, "It seems my pain is self-imposed." So you really kind of had to look at yourself, huh?
Yeah, it's a big part of it, you know, approaching everything with honesty, approaching yourself and kind of everything in your life with the same degree of honesty. And that was a huge part of making the record, too, was just, you know, being honest with each other, accepting our past and changing ourselves, moving past it, and, you know, being honest with each other. And I think creatively it really helped us, and it also personally helped me a lot and helps a lot of people every day.
Is that why this album's called Deceiver, Cole? Because that's what you and the band were sort of doing to each other and yourselves?
Yeah, that's a big part of it. I think it's a theme that kind of extends to other things, like larger political and social characters of deceivers and myself and, you know, anybody who's has a history of lying. And, you know, it's a lot of people, but it's especially talking a lot about myself and coming to grips with that and working to change it.
Can you also separate the idea of being in the band and going through all these personal things? I'm wondering if that's a help or a hindrance, being on the road and having your addictions with you. Do they sort of travel no matter where you go?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you can't change the places you go or the people around you and expect to fix your problem. It's a lot bigger than that. You know, I found that addiction was a symptom of a larger problem I had that a lot of people find. But I think in terms of having the band around me, you know, I think having a support system and a group of people that love you and care about you is extremely important, and we helped each other through that process. So in a lot of ways, you know, and having focus and something to work at that was fulfilling for us was really important for me personally.
It must also weigh on your mind that you don't want to let those people down.
Sure. I mean, you know, I did. And I think especially now, yeah, we hold each other accountable.
Cole, you're also a rabid disciple and avid fan of music and bands and popular culture. Did you start weighing yourself up against the fortunes of other bands that have been in a similar predicament and think, you know, I've got to not become a certain kind of artist?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like what do they say? A smart man learns from his own mistakes, a wise man learns from other people's mistakes. And I don't think I was ever that wise man. I think I had to learn things for myself. And obviously, there's that, like, mythology in rock and roll and, you know, all genres of music of, like, the lifestyle and the drugs and stuff. And I think, in a way, it allows you to make excuses for yourself. Like, well, I can do this because this is the world I'm in. But ultimately, it's just, like, another tool to, like, enable your own problems and, like, prevent yourself from having to face the facts.
And, Cole, for years, you were defiantly a DIY artist. And what was it like for you, after you'd got yourself back on track, to surrender some control to both your bandmates and an outside producer for the first time ever for this Dive album?
Yeah, you know, I think it was kind of learning my own limitations and learning our limitations as a band. You know, there's certain things that I just don't know how to do. And bringing the band in was really great to have something that we were all passionate about and ultimately now are really proud of. You know, it is a big thing of like surrendering control. And I don't think that DIY is a top-down control type of thing. I think that DIY more is about community. And I think that we still have elements of that from our early days.
Yeah, for people who don't know, last time you were here, you were talking about Is the Is Are, and you said you pretty much played every instrument on that record yourself. But this time around, you wrote with Colin the songs, and then the band helped arrange them. So it must be a very different way of working for you, especially. And I guess you have some things you need to get over to get the end result.
Yeah, I think a big part of it is just kind of losing your ego and not being precious over, you know, well, I wrote this part, so it's right. I think that there's like a big mythology in music and art in general where everybody wants to be this singular creator, you know, but I think that is kind of the exception to the rule. And I find like it's better to have people to communicate with and talk about. And even when I listen to that last record, it's like, wow, these are good demos. They would have been really good songs if we had finished them.
Oh, come on, don't be so hard on yourself.
That's true.
The producer you use, this guy, Sonny DePerry, has worked with a bunch of people like M83 and My Bloody Valentine and Nine Inch Nails. Was it a relief to have someone like him in the room, not only to help you sonically, but also as a referee as well?
Yeah, he was like a fresh set of ears. You know, we had been spending a lot of time together and talking about the songs and like, you know, working certain parts to death. And sometimes I think as a group, we got attached to certain ideas just because we'd spent so much time on them, and it was kind of like the sunken cost fallacy where it's like ultimately we needed somebody in there to, I think referee is a good word. And Sonny did an incredible job of not just fitting his opinions in where they were needed, but also fitting in with our really tight kind of family dynamic as a band. You know, it's really impressive that he was able to make the record so much fun for us to make, which is kind of ironic because it's a heavy record and Sonny was a big part of that.
He's also helped to bring a bigger and broader palette of sounds. I mean, sonically, it's quite dense, and the opening song, Horsehead, has this resplendent piano on it, Cole. So did he also kind of nudge you to do things you might not have done if it was just up to you?
You know, I think with Sonny, actually, what he taught us the most about was we were kind of in this practice of layering stuff and stacking stuff until the sound became so dense that it would kind of snuff itself out. And he was a really big proponent of subtracting things. So we would, you know, record a bunch of guitars and then ultimately figure out what was important to be on the song and let those kind of stand on their own. And it was kind of an eye-opener for us how it ended up sounding louder as we subtracted things.
That's like a music industry kind of joke or something, isn't it, right? It's the things you didn't put in that made it sound better.
I think that's a huge part of art in general is what not to do.
I'm pleased also, Cole, that he let you keep your kraut vibe for the song Blankenship, and he didn't wrestle that off you?
No, he, all the references we gave him, he's like, these are my favorite bands. And so it was easy to communicate with him because we had a similar palette of reference tracks when we were stuck or when we were looking for a specific sound for a specific part or something.
Was Cocteau Twins one of those reference points, Cole? Because I noticed that you've managed to share one of the song's names on the Dive record with the Cocteau Twins classic, Lorelei.
Yeah, you know, that's like kind of a retelling of mythology. We did use Cocteau Twins as a reference for some vocal things, but ultimately with the references, a lot of them surprised us. The way that we had thought something sounded all along when we listened closely to it, we were like, wait, these vocals are really dry, or like these drums are really loud, or kind of things like that. So some of the references that we had for specific things kind of went out the window.
It's also an incredibly shorter album than the previous two Dive records. It clocks in at 10 songs, Cole, whereas Ocean was 13.
A lot of albums are shorter than that one.
Well, Ocean was 13 and Is the Is Are was 17 and ran for over an hour. And, you know, even no instrumental interludes on this one. So, again, you've taken a lot of stuff out to get this end result.
Yeah, I think, you know, Is the Is Are, it would be probably a better record with a few fewer songs, and you know, we didn't want to repeat that same mistake, and so kind of from the beginning we're like, this is gonna be a 10 song record, and we recorded like 13 and then trimmed it back.
And so it seems honesty and brevity are the way forward for Dive, huh?
I guess so, yeah.
Look, we might have a listen to actually the shortest song on the record now. We'll play Like Before You Were Born. It was so great to get you on the phone. If we can't get you here right away for the record's release, I hope you'll get to Australia at some point again, Cole.
Of course, man. I appreciate your support and the support of the Australian listening public.
Unreal. We appreciate you too. This is Dive on Static. Thanks, Cole.
Yeah, of course, man. I really appreciate it.